Hey, I'm honored to be here this morning. So you got a Yankee here, all right? So bear with me, all right? We have an interesting nation right now, especially as far as business and so forth and just what's going on. So I'll try not to leak some of my politics on you, okay, with this whole thing, all right? So I'm going to really try and behave myself on that. I have my first degree or whatever from Arizona State University in business, and I started out in business. I was actually in a mortuary chain. Can you imagine that? We had four mortuaries and one cemetery. I was the office manager. I thank God I wasn't on the tail end of the operation too much, all right? So, but I was there about 3 years and kind of climbed my way up to the secretary of the corporation at 24. It's a pretty big deal. And we had a lot of fun, but after 3 years there, I figured I got to get out of this place. I was getting boxed in, okay, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, people were dying everywhere, you know, and I said, I got to get out of here. And I went on, and I felt like I was supposed to just kind of get into business. And I found a little business. I had $3,000. I found a little business there, got a loan. And it was in the industry, the printing industry. It was a book bindery. And the printers would print it, and we would finish it, turn it into paperback books or magazines, things like that, you know, and we kind of take it from there. So I started myself. I didn't know anything about the printing industry. You know, when you're 24 years old, what you lack in wisdom, sometimes you can overcome in strength. And so I just got jumped into that thing. And by the time I was 29, I had 43 employees and the largest book bindery in Phoenix, Arizona, where I'm from. We're now the fifth largest city in America. We just took over Philadelphia's place, so we're excited about that. We're in the southwest corner of the United States, the dry places. And I have a word to you Kiwis: when you're casting out the demons, quit sending them to dry places. All right, we already have enough. Okay, so all that kind of stuff. But and so you know, I very early on in life, I had a pretty nice win, and then I went over to Indonesia in 1979 as a Christian. I was a Christian about 5 years at that time, and. Coming back, the Lord I felt like the Lord really strongly prompted me, just sell the business. You're going to be in full-time ministry inside the church for a season. So I did, sold the business. I put $3,000 into it and sold it for $1 million. And back in 1980, that was a lot of money. And so it was like, everybody go cha-ching. All right, I like that. So, you know, I like that. Incidentally, turn to the person next to you and say, neighbor. Look at him right and say, neighbor. You may not know it, but you are sitting by the next millionaire. Okay, all right, somebody else. Or it could be 2 millionaire or 3 millionaire, all right? So wherever you are, the next level up, all right? So in any event, that was some of my business experience. So I pastored a large church for many years, and I slowly worked into this international ministry of just, how do you say it, trying to give the church back to the community. And, you know, the church kind of stole the church from the community. Well, we're here to give it back to them, all right? So, and how do we give the church back to the community? You know how? Through you guys. You come into Sunday, you come into maybe a church on Sunday, but you know what? You go out in Monday, you know, you come inside the walls so you can go outside of the walls. I always say to the guy who's been marketing in the sales, you're not marketing, you're manifesting. Are you with me? You're not managing. If you're a manager, you're not managing. You're manifesting. What the pastor said on Sunday in speaking his funny language, which is called churchese, you can take it out in the community and turn that language into something they'll understand on Monday called community ease. Are you with me? You're kind of the go-between between the guys out there and the pastor in there. You're how do you say it? You have speak two languages. Are you with me? I like that. You're bilingual. You know how to speak churchese and you know how to speak communityese. All right? You could take a Greek word, you know, that the pastor tried to impress you with on Sunday morning and turn it into language people can understand out there. So you're not marketing, you're manifesting. You're living epistles read of all men. You're taking the glory out. It's not when the saints go marching in, it's when the saints go marching out that changes the community. Does that make sense? In other words, I said it last night. It's like a tree. Your roots are in church, but your fruits are in the community. Does that make sense? And so what you do, you really are. And you know, the Clarkets here said they really hit on something, the fact that you are a pastor of the community. Your career is your ministry, and your ministry is your career. And that's just all. So you're just as much of a pastor. You're just as much of a pastor to those guys out there as the pastor is in a traditional church to you. All you do is you come in, you learn, but then you're a pastor. If you're a banker, you've got employees, you've got customers, you've got people, spheres of influence and all that type of stuff. Guess what? If you're a Christian, you're in full-time ministry. And so your job is to become a pastor, is to pastor them out there. You're a living epistle. You're a source of wisdom. Jesus Christ became to us wisdom, but what good is wisdom if it's inside the four walls? See, I really believe this. The problem's not media. The problem is we don't have enough Christians in media. The problem's not government. The problem is we don't have enough Christians in government. That, you know, and the Word became flesh and what? Dwelt amongst them. So the Word that you get inside a church on Sunday goes out and pitches its tent on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I like that. We need to move from the, I guess I'm always trying to help businessmen in this thing. And I've been both. I've been the pastor and I've been the, you know, I've been in business. I'm in business now. I'm back in land, which is a kind of a tough place to be right now in America. My partner just went bankrupt, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You know, he's looking for a bailout, but I don't see any coming. He doesn't want it because it has attachment to it anyway. Excuse me, I just leaked there. Okay, in any event, the politics of the art of making your own self-interest seem like the national interest. Okay, yeah. So, but I love, actually, I love the political realm. I meet with the mayor daily. In fact, the morning that I left for New Zealand here, I had breakfast with the mayor and all our council and everything. We're doing great things in the city. And our mayor, you know, sometimes mayors, look at this, Christians like, ooh, you know, ooh, you're one of those. Amen. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're like Bruce. Excuse me, I'm sorry. you're like, are you going to judge us? You know what you, and we've talked to our mayor and said, we understand by being with us, you're walking the delicate political line. You know, I mean, if the wrong people see you with us, you know, you could be in trouble and that could get you unelected. And you know, it's very interesting. The people that don't like that, they always go above you. They won't talk to you directly. They go to the person who's above you so that apply pressure, so they can apply pressure on you, which is really, really interesting. So we promise this guy guiltless. We promise this guy no agenda. We're just here to serve you. We're here to make the community better. We're here to bring this community to its closer to its full potential. I don't know about you. I'm tired of underachieving communities. Are you with me? And you know what? You have in your hands what God has in his heart. It's just that simple. But, you know, sometimes we need permission as business guys. You know, we look at ourselves as, you know, like this secular sacred deal. You know, well, inside the four walls of the church is sacred and we're secular. And I met with a couple of guys. In fact, I'm going to give you a handout in just a second here. A couple of guys, actually, let me come back here. I wrote this book called Church at Community. And chapter 15 is called The Return of the Kings. That's who you guys are. Now, does that sound very Kiwi or not? All right. Now, I dedicated this book to New Zealand. I don't dedicate my books to people. I dedicate them to countries. And so this is my doctoral dissertation. How do you like that? I'm now a Dr. Ed. I've moved from Mr. Ed the Talking Horse to Dr. Ed the Talking Source. Are you with me? I've got in here chapter 15. It's called The Return of the Kings. And you know, we need the return of the kings. That's what the Clarkets are really pushing. What they're trying to say is, you know, like Bruce is full-time ministry in the church, inside the four walls of the church, but you're outside, you're in full-time ministry outside of the walls of the church. Isn't that great? You think about that. And so we need the return of the kings because pastors can change the church, but you change the world. That's just all. You're world changers, not just church changers. You see what I'm saying? So it's their responsibilities to change the church. Your responsibility is to change the communities, change the world. And like I said before, you have in your hands what God has in his heart. Now, I was meeting with a couple guys here from the Kapiti Coast. If I mention their names, some of you might know them. One of them is a guy by the name of Wayne Douglas and John Roche. They own a company together called Alpha New Zealand. It's a computer company. And Wayne Douglas used to be the head of, I think it was A, what's the ANZ bank, the Australian New Zealand bank, the blue one? He was the head of international investments in ANZ. He worked over in Sydney for 20 years. Pretty high power guy. And these guys they heard me speak, and they said, "We got to take you, mate. We got to grab you, you know." And they took me to this restaurant in the middle of Wellington, and these are the questions they started asking me. And they were very concerned about, as businessmen, they went to church. Their wives drugged them to church, and they sat there. They tried to preach Ephesians, but it didn't work. Are you with me? They tried to do a 15-week studies on rubies in the Bible, but it didn't work. And nothing excited them. You know, it's like they just showed up at church, you know. And, of course, the idea is, you know, pastors love it when business guys walk into church. Money, 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 money. All right, right. So, no, they really don't do that too much. Okay. incidentally, if I could be divergent here for just a second, I'll come back to this story. I got a great story to tell you. Two men shipwrecked on an island. One started screaming and yelling, "We're on a shipwreck on an island. We're in the middle of the ocean. We're going to die. We're going to die. There's no food. There's no water. We're going to die." The second one was calm, propped up against a palm tree, so calm it drove the first man crazy. "Don't you understand? We're in the middle of the ocean. We're shipwrecked on an island. There's no food. There's no water. We're going to die. We're going to die." The second man said, "You don't understand. I make $100,000 a week." First man said, "Well, what difference does that make? We're shipwrecked on an island. We're going to die. We're going to die." He says, "You don't understand. I make $100,000 a week, and I tithe on that $100,000 a week. My pastor will find me." Turn the person next to you and say, "He's talking to you. You better listen to him, all right?" But guys, here's some questions they started asking, and this was real. I really like this because this was real, you know, Kiwi. You know, and I've been to your nation probably 30 times or so, you know, through the years, so I know a little bit about you guys. And I love being with you, and that's the truth. This is what they were asking as businessmen. They started asking these questions. They said, "Why are we here? Why are we, you know, why are you a business?" I'm going to put it, I'll put it in the language to you, okay? "Why are you here? Why are you a business person, a government official, or a teacher? If business was unholy, why would you be a business person?" I have an interesting question because somehow they get this idea that business is unholy. I mean, it's got, you know, that's secular, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But man, you really arrive when you're in full-time ministry in the church, you know, and all that kind of idea, you know. And why would, if business was unholy, why would you be a business person? If you're supposed to be holy, why would you participate in something unholy? Why are you in business as a churched or unchurched person? What is full-time ministry? What is my role as a business person in the community? Is profit unholy? What and where is church, and what is secular, and what is sacred? And I wrote those questions. I put them on a little, what do you call them, these things. What do they call them, a survey? A serviette. Okay, all right. In America, we call it a napkin. I know, sorry about that. I won't go there. But, you know, I got thinking about this question, you know, and those were real questions. I mean, as a church, you know, I don't, God hasn't called me to teach Ephesians. Are you with me? I'm not going to be a Greek geek. I'm not going to, you know, where's something in church that turns me on, that gets my motor running so I can head out on the highway? You know, I've been born to be wild, not born to be mild. Are you with me? And so think of this. I got thinking about this and writing the book, and I thought, you know, this is an interesting situation. And, you know, I speak with Ed Zavoe. I know Ed's right now doing the marketplace stuff and this, that, and the other, and he has his take. But I want to give you my take on it, okay? And basically as I started thinking about this, I thought, you know, what's happened here is that, you know, first of all, the church, as a church, as the people in the church, we are a nation of kings and priests. Everybody say kings and priests. Now, think about that. I understand spiritually that we're all kings and priests, all right? And spiritually, we're kings and priests. I understand that. But what I've began to think about is, but what is our role on earth? Okay, so I'm not talking spiritual sense. I'm talking roles right now. And as I begin to look at the nation of Israel, which was called the church in the wilderness, so we can get church principles by Israel, what I begin to look at this, and notice it always says we're kings and priests. It says that in Revelation 1 and Revelation 5, we're a royal priesthood. And notice it's always kings first and then priests. I think that's interesting. So as I began to think about this, I began to think about the nation of Israel. And as I looked at Israel, I saw that there was one tribe in full-time ministry inside the four walls. And they were the Levites, and they were what, Bruce? They were priests, weren't they? They were priests, but the others, so their role was they were in full-time ministry inside the church. But there was 11 other tribes, mainly headed by Joseph, the fruitful bough, who goes over the wall, the guy who knows how to hang around with pharaohs and run nations and accumulate wealth and have wisdom in times of famine and all this kind of stuff. But basically, the other 11 twelfths, I call this the principle of the 11 twelfths church, but the other 11 twelfths were in full-time ministry. They were all in the nation. They were all Israelites. They were all in the church. But the other 11 tribes, their role was to be in full-time ministry on the outside of the walls of the synagogue. Hello? In other words, 1/12 were in full-time ministry in the church, but 11/12 of Israel, headed by some big tribes, Joseph and Judah, some tribes were small, sometimes were big, but they were all out there. They were people, they were in ministry out where the people are. And it's very interesting, you know, my definition of the kingdom of God, church is anything that's inside the four walls, but kingdom is anything that's outside of the four walls. And so we have one tribe, full-time ministry, guys like Bruce or Noel over here, that's their job, full-time ministry inside the walls of the church. They're the priests. They're called by God to be for ministry inside the four walls. But the other 11/12, and that's where most Christians are, 11/12 of the Christians ever made are called to be in full-time ministry outside of the four walls of the church. 11/12, think of that. Why? Because that's where the people are. And it's very interesting to me, if you think of a king and a palace and a kingdom and all that kind of stuff, think of this. What would the people do back in those feudal days and all that kind of stuff? You had the palace and you had the little wall around it, you know, and that's where the city was. But where were all the people working? They were working outside of the walls of that palace. They weren't working inside of the palace. They were working out. They would go out into the kingdom, the king's kingdom, which might be invisible, you know, invisible jurisdiction. It's a place where he had jurisdiction, but it might be 100 miles, 200 miles, 300 miles, or 400, whatever it was, around that kingdom. But that's where they went to, you know, grow their food. That's where they went to be in business. That's where they, if they were carpenters, that's where they made their furniture. And what they would do is they would bring it in, bring part of it into the city, but then go right back out and make all the money out there in the realm of the kingdom. And that's where the money is out in the kingdom, and you bring some of it into the church, if I can say it that way, and that's okay, provision for the vision, all that type of stuff. But the primary role of marketplace ministers, of the people out in the marketplace, what I would call the kings, was to be in full-time ministry embedded in business, in government, in education, in media, arts, sports, all those different realms and sectors in society that are out there. In other words, they would come into the presence on Sunday so they could go out with the presence on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, moving from the Sunday church to the Monday church, if I can call it that, the shift from the Sunday church to the Monday church. And I like this. Guys, here's what I'm trying to say to you. You guys right here that are in business and so forth, your church is your business, a sphere of influence, and you're the pastor. You're a sent one into the community. Church is everywhere you are. Now think of that. In other words, I really like this. In other words, if Dick Smith is your, do we have Dick Smith here? Am I in the right country? If Dick Smith Electron, okay, I just wonder, I always get mixed up between Australia. It's in both places, I think. But if Dick Smith Electronics is your employer, then guess what? They're paying you to be their pastor. And the church doesn't have to come up with the money to pay you. And believe me, you don't want to be paid by the church. Are you with me? In other words, your salary, if you're working for Chevron or if you're working for Pick and Pay or whatever, you know, whatever the company it is around here, ASB, if you're working with Goldstein and all, whatever it is, you know, then guess what? They're paying you to be in what? Full-time ministry, and you're the pastor. The problem is you didn't know you were a pastor. Aha! Everybody go like this. Aha! All right. See, now to me, that is kind of the biblical perspective on this, is that you were designed by God to be out there in this. Enjoy it. Business is a great place to have a church. Making money is fun, fun, fun. Daddy's not taking the T-bird away. Are you with me? Profit is holy. You can't spend what you don't have. What develops nations? What takes us to the next level? It's profit, so we can reinvest what? To make stuff better, to bring up the realm of the community, to fill the earth and subdue it. So God loves profit, you know. Profit's a good thing. Now, good things taken to extremes become bad things. And we got a few of those guys in America. You know, the government created a context with all kinds of money with no control. And when you have capitalists around, I guarantee you they will find the way to make money. But it was the government who created that opportunity, not the business guys. And by giving all this money through Freddie Mae and Fannie Mae and all this type of stuff. So it was kind of a trap there. But the idea here, what I'm trying to say is, if Dick Smith's Electronics are employing, they are paying you to be in full-time ministry. Your church doesn't have the raise the funds to pay you. And guys, I just want to tell you this. Some of you, you know, this may bug your theology just a little bit, but some of you believe that, you know, the wealth of the Gentiles is going to be transferred to the righteous, and it's somehow some miraculous event, and everybody's a millionaire. I'm telling you what, the wealth of the Gentiles has been transferred to you through a long, long time through your paycheck. Hello? That's how God does it, you know, and I'm not saying that there won't be, you know, instances and events that where that won't happen and stuff and big wealth will come in. But the idea here is they're paying you to be in full time. You are as much of a pastor as Bruce is a pastor or Noel is a pastor. It's just that you're a pastor to the community. All right? And you guys, I love it because you know how to speak both languages, you know. Now, there's some misbeliefs here that are really killing us, guys, in the church that I'm real concerned about. What I want to do today is I want to give you permission to be who you are. You're kings. Now, kings recognize the manna of other kings. Are you with me? I always like to do the Maori thing, you know, and get up right in your face. I won't do that to you, you know. With Kiwis, you have to be kind of careful. You know, you get too close to them and they start wondering about you. So I'll back off here a little bit and all of that. So, but the truth is, kings recognize the manna of other kings. Isn't that true, Bruce? And so when you're a king out in the community, then all those kings that, how do you say, our future church? I don't call them unbelievers or unchurch. I call them future church. Are you with me? And you're either present church or future church because we're going to get you. I hope. I always like that, give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Listen, if my friend who I grew up with, Alice Cooper, can get saved, anybody can get saved. I mean, he's the guy that did Schools Out Forever. Are you with me? And he was right in the year ahead of me in high school, and our bands played all together in the summer of 67. Linda Ronstadt would come up from Tucson. We had a great time. Listen, if somebody like Alice Cooper can get saved, Alice Cooper 12 years ago was future church. Today he's present church. Because why? Some king went out and spoke to him, manifested in front of him, and shared with him a word, and it just, he caught a fish. Are you with me? That's our job, you know. So it's to bring influence. You know, having wisdom and being a place to use wisdom are two different things. What I love about you guys, see, Jesus Christ became to us wisdom, and you know who you are? You guys are, how do you say it? You're in places to use that wisdom. That's why we get involved in the government. We don't need to take over. Our role is contribution, not conquest. Liberation, not domination. We aren't here to take over. We're here to influence. We lead by influence. Are you with me? That's called salt and light. Salt can't flavor what it doesn't touch. So what I'm trying to say to you is, your pastors, you have permission You have permission, if nobody else, from me and the Clark who's over there, to be who you are. I mean, those guys are just crazy enough to believe this stuff. You know, I can look at them. That's a compliment, guys. Okay, right. Now, here's a few misbeliefs. Here's a few misbeliefs that are really limited, so I'm concerned about it. Number one, there is a God-ordained division between clergy and laity. That's a misbelief. Somehow we get this idea that, that clergy is more anointed or whatever than laity. Hey, priests were anointed and kings were anointed. You're all anointed to do what God, what is that one? Touch not the Lord's anointed, .. business person. Touch not the Lord's anointed media person. Touch not the anointed vendor machine company guy over here. All right, excuse me. All right, sorry about that. It's just as much going after the pastor, you touch the business guy, you're touching the Lord's anointed too. So there's no such thing between clergy and laity. Everybody's in full-time ministry if you're a Christian. It's just depends on where you're called to be. All right, number two. The church is called to operate primarily inside a building often referred to as the temple. Everybody say false. No, go. Everybody go like this. Put your hand out. Go, and. All right. The church is not primarily called to operate inside a temple. It's primarily called to go outside of the temple. People used to ask me all the time, Ed, how big is your church? You know, somehow that's a real important, how big is your church? It's almost like that Bee Gees song, how big is your church, how big is your church? I really need to know, because I'm, oh, sorry about it. But you know what I used to say, how big is your church? I'd say 4 million. Phoenix, Arizona, it's over 4 million now, a population over 4 million people. I mean, that's a big church. See, Adam and Eve were sent to pastor a geographical area, not just inside the four walls, but a geographical area, called the Garden of Eden. And so you're part of that role of the, reaching the whole garden, not just the tree of knowledge. Are you with me? So, we are to be involved in all sectors of society. Now, look, here's a misbelief. People involved in business or other spheres of influence cannot be as spiritual as those serving in traditional church ministry. Come on, everybody, 1, 2, 3. All right, now we're letting the dogs out this morning, okay? I'm just going to turn the dogs loose out on this community this morning, okay? I'm sorry, who let the dogs out? Okay, sorry, I just had to do that, okay? No. You're a king or a priest. You're both just a spiritual. Now, number four, here's another misbelief. You have really made it if you are in full-time ministry in the church. Hello? You really made it when you're doing what God's called you to do. And 11/12 of you have been designed by God. That's your role here on earth, as it is in heaven. But your role here on earth is to be a pastor to the community. You're kings who other kings out in the community recognize. They see your manna. A king out in the community that's not saved or unchurched or whatever, he looks at a pastor and he goes, just like those Maori, he looks at that guy and says, But he can look at you who have a calling to business all that and he go, oh, we rub noses now, okay. Hello? Think about that. Next one. Now, and that's not a cut against pastors, just saying that, the priests, be who you are. But you kings, be who you are too, because your job, kings, recognize the manna of other kings. You're a king in church, but when you go out in the community, you become a priest to the other kings out there. You become a pastor to the other kings out there. Okay, let me just say one or two more things. So how are we doing on time, Bruce? 5 minutes, beautiful, all right. How do you like that? I'm going to get you out on time. That's very unusual. Okay. Here's one, and let's just deal with this. The primary role of marketplace Christians is to make money to support the vision of those in the ministry. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're more than a dollar bill. Would you do that? Or would you do that? Just say, you're more than a dollar bill, okay? It's just... isn't that true? You are more than a dollar bill. I mean, but isn't that what you feel like sometimes? It's like, I come in, watch out pockets. It's just like Obama, we're trying to keep the guy sedated because every time he wakes up, he spends another $1 trillion. It's like, you know. But, oh, it's, man, never mind. Okay, I won't go there. In any event, no, you're more than a dollar bill. Now, I'm not saying that tithing is important. Don't hear what I didn't say. But that's like third. That's tertiary, secondary, tertiary. It's on down the line. The primary role of Marketplace Christians is to be pastors to the community, is to be kings to the other kings, is to bring wisdom into your source of context, is to be that light in the midst of a generation that needs help. See, if they can't see us, they won't be us. And we're to look for a way in the community, not a way out of the community. Now, I go on and on and on. I think you get the idea here. What I like to do is just do a little skit up here. Could I have Noel? Could I have you up here, Noel? Could I have you bring, and then Mr. Clarkie, come on up here, okay? Mr. Clarkie, let's bring you. And I'll tell you what, let me bring this American guy up here who thinks he's a Kiwi. Come on over here. Just so you get over here, all right? Noel, I need you over here. I need Mr. Clark here in the middle, and you can be the community. Okay, so you're going to be the community. He's going to be a king. Everybody say king.
King.
All right? And he's going to be a priest, all right? He's full-time ministry inside the church, all right? So I would just want to show you how this thing works, just a little drama and illustration here, because we have about 4 minutes now. Okay, now look at this. Now what happens on Sunday morning, what happens is the kings and the priests come together, because we're a nation of kings and priests, and so this is great. You just you pray for him, okay? Just you know, and here you give him money, okay? Give him money, all right? Just give him money, all right? That's it. Man, I like this, okay? And here that more anointing, you know. And you can fall down, do a courtesy fall if you want, okay? Whatever, but the point of it is, you guys are all together, and we got kings and priests. But it's really kind of cool because he shares from the Word of God. You need somebody, believe me, that's hearing from God, because a lot of you guys are too busy. You need to hear somebody. No, I understand you should do your personal devotions every day and all that stuff. But it's powerful to have these priests around, because they've got just like this. They're called to make sure that you're equipped to do the work of the ministry. Okay, so the idea here is that you're all together here. Just lay hands again. Here, give them some more money. Second offering, okay. All right, good, okay, good. But the community's over here, you know, and they aren't here. So we got all these kings and priests and everything like that, you know, and everything's good and all the anointing and all that kind of stuff. But on Monday, what happens is the priest stays here, and you go over here. Oh, you don't have anything to give anymore. Okay, I'm sorry. No, but now you go over here, Mr. Clark, and you know what you are? You are a king at church, but then to the other guys that don't know Christ, all the business guys and all the government people and all that type of stuff, guess what? You get over here, and like I say, you become a pastor to these guys over here. You become a priest to these guys over here. So you're a king at church, but you're a priest to the community, to the other, what? Kings over here. And so it's really nice. And what you do is, when you're over here, you know, this guy speaks church-ese, all right? He speaks words like Greek words, you know, agape and metron and, you know, skio and all those midrashic redactionalism and all those kind of words, you know, and stuff like that. But then when you get out here, you turn it into community-ese language that a normal Kiwi can understand. Are you with me? And what's happened is that we've had for the last 1,700 years priests trying to make all the kings priests. Are you with me? That's like trying to make a dog a cat. In Jesus' name, dog, you be cat. Cat stays cat. Are you with me? I don't care if you have Benny Hinn throw his coat on it. I don't care if you have, you know, the intercessors pray over it or the prophets prophesy over it. Dog stay cat. Are you with me? Okay, so what happens is that because the kings, the priests have been saying, you really arrive when you're in full-time ministry in the church, you got to do all that kind of stuff. What happens is they've tried to make all these kings priests. And that's kind of that's not the way it should work. You see, as kings, guys, you serve at church, but your ministry is in the community. And so what's happened is the kings have been removed. We tried to make the, and then we got all these priests trying to equip the kings to do the work of their ministry, yeah, of churchy ministry. Are you with me? We're trying to get him to teach. He's trying to get him to teach Ephesians. He's like, dude. Are you with me? And so what's happened is there's this gap between the priest, because he's here to equip you to do the work of your ministry, not his ministry. He's here to equip you to be a better business person. He's here to give you Judeo-Christian core values that enhance a community and bring it up closer to its full potential. Well, what's happened is for 1,700 years since the canon was established, especially since the Reformation, we've been trying to make all these marketplace guys pastors. Hello? Or just money guys. But what happens is God's doing a new thing right now. It's called the return of, and notice. The gap is too big between the pastor, traditional pastor, seminary, educated pastor, Bible school, all that, this guy and the community, they don't know how to speak to one another. In fact, the only thing most pastors know to say to the community is, I bind you, you son of Belial. But now these guys know how to say it a little more discreetly. Are you with me? So what happened is we pulled the kings out of the equation. The gap's too big. So what happens, the church separates from the community, and the community separates from the church. And we begin to think, oh, we're sacred, and they're secular. It's us, them, me, Tarzan, you, Jane. Or in today's world, me, Jane, you, Tarzan. Okay, I'm sorry about that. But then we start to separate. So what God's doing right now, it's the return of the kings so that the whole community can be linked together and all together. Oh, come together. Oh, man. Now, don't get too close. This is New Zealand, okay?
We're okay.
All right. They're okay. They're okay. Nobody's going to condemn. I don't want to hear any rumors about this up here, okay? But you see what happens. This is how what he says on Sunday can go out to the community on Monday. How? Through you. And mixing with your thing. So the idea, guys, is it's the return of the kings. God's return in the marketplace, guys, into this equation. Because you're bilingual. You know how to speak churches and communities. You know how to connect the church with the community. You know how to bring what's in the priest and in God's heart right into the people's hearts. You are a full-time ministry. So I'm just giving you permission today if we go for that. Let's give the Lord a big clap offering or something. You know, let's just do it. Now, I'm all done, so I'm going to turn it over to whoever it should be. Did you enjoy this today?
Yes.
Everybody go, aha! If you could get this, guys, it'll change the world. I'm telling you. Sorry for being a little American crazy here with you this morning, but it's early morning. I had to do something to keep you awake. Okay, so, all right, can I turn it over to whoever it goes to there?